Season 3, Episode 18, Chris Clough.
Roland Chidiac. That worked out pretty good.
Dude, on Tuesday, I was picketing.
Yep, I saw the pics from your picketing.
And I saw the pics from your picketing. Mm-hmm. That's not what I want to talk about, though. I want to talk about, I got home after my shift of picketing, and my wife was out picketing when I got home. Checked in with the kids, make sure all was well, tidied up the house, did some stuff. And then it was around 4:30, and I looked over at my dining room table, and my drone was sitting there. So I looked outside, and I was like, okay, it's not too cold, clear skies, I'm doing it. And I took the drone out for a spin. Did you see that the video on Instagram? On my Instagram page, I have a short. It's like a 1 minute, just there's some music and some footage of my neighborhood. And it was me. It's me practicing. And I have to tell you, you know, when you get something new or you learn about something in your world and all you want to do is spend time doing that. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel right now about the drone. I just want to get it out there. And I've got these great ideas. Like, so I did like a little bit of my neighborhood. The next thing that I want to do is my school. Like I've already got the aerial shots in my head of what I want to capture, like a 30 to 50 second type of, I don't know what you want to call it, piece.
Mm-hmm.
Creative piece on like where I work and what it looks like from the outside and from above. That's what I'm itching. But then since that day, so I learned some new things about how it works and like I learned some stuff about how to pilot the drone. And then every day since then, it's been cold as you know what, mm-hmm. or it's been snowing. And I'm like, I'm not. It says don't go out in conditions like that, and I'm just not a good enough pilot to even take the risk. But, yeah, I'm itching. I'm dying. What do I do?
Keep growing your craft. Keep investing in it. Keep pushing. Keep doing stuff. I'll check your feed. I told you. I have to put you on notifications.
No, you don't. Don't do that.
Yeah. I need to be more obsessive in my following of your posts. Because I'm gonna lurk you, my friend. It is kind of funny though that as a lead, the fact that that you know you're posting up stuff that I'd be interested in seeing, but until we kind of connect with each other, I love that you have this other stuff going on that I never notice. I love it. I love it. I love the fact that you're creating and making, and you have these sort of moments that I miss, because it just kind of reinforces the fact that one, social media isn't everything. Two, if you are going to post stuff on social media, you know, even better if it's lived experience. Like really, like that's you know, as opposed to the likes or the retweets or the repost kind of stuff. And three, it reminds me of, you know, it just reinforces the fact that you as a friend, there's more to you than I could ever observe in kind of one sitting, right? We've managed to keep these weeklies going on fairly consistently, but even still, there's stuff that you got going on in your world that never makes it across the desktop. So I should work harder to lurk you. That's what I come back to.
Or you know what I could do is when I put something up like that, I could easily let you know, hey buddy, I put something up, you might want to check it out.
Maybe. You know that whole tag culture?
I will not tag you.
Oh, okay.
Because that's just
why not? Why wouldn't you tag me? Why wouldn't you make it easy for me, Roland, to find the stuff that you're doing? Why is it you wouldn't force me to watch it like that?
Because I don't want to force you to watch it like that.
Cheers.
I want you to come and go as you please. It's one of those, and I'm babbling with you all week anyway, so I might as well just say, hey, buddy, when you have a second, when you're bored or whatever, check this out. You might like it. You might not. Whatever. Check it out. Yeah. So I'm not going to tag you. No, I'm not doing that.
I will go find it, though, because I do like... Here's the single reason right now why I want to see this footage. It's for some reason important to me to see your development of this craft.
Oh.
And it's almost like I wish there could be the omniscient narrator that has observed yours and my path in podcasting to get to now, and could sort of say, you know, he started off talking to teach, you know what I mean? That's sort of like how we were back in the day to how we've sort of come together to do this thing. Cause it's almost hard to track. It's almost impossible to track that type of development from inside out. Like you need an objective voice or observer from the outside to say, hey, you've kind of switched gears here, or I can totally see how this is, the next step in your interest with tech or toys or whatever. Like it gets that reflective practice, but on the outside, someone reflects on your practice. And maybe we can touch on the This Week in Edublogs, like what happens when people reflect on your practice as you're reflecting on your practice. Maybe it gets a little too House of Mirrors-ish, but just what that effect is, how that feels when someone can kind of say, I've been watching you for a while, or I've seen your growth and it's really interesting to me, and I'm only checking in now after 3 years. So right. that's my thing with watching your the seed point of your drone use. So much of you and the things that make you up as a teacher, as a man, as a father, I'm on the bus, but I didn't see the origin point. I mean, we've talked about it. So I can only see sort of like who you are. If I use the comparison, I only just found this out with WhatsApp. I think when you join on WhatsApp, you can only see from the point that you move on in the conversation, like from the point that you join, you don't have access to the old story. Unlike, let's say, Facebook, if you friend someone on Facebook, you can pretty much access their whole feed if they've given you permission to.
Mm-hmm.
But I found that really fascinating. WhatsApp is that particular element is kind of like that's how life is. Like you meet someone, you don't actually have access to their backstory unless they choose to reshare it or repost it for you.
Right.
So yeah, really roundabout way of saying I'm fascinated by your process with this, because I feel like I was part of this. I was included in part of the starting point.
That's right. You know all about the origin story. You know, like you've seen. Yeah, you're right. You've seen me from the point of, hey, this would be cool to have and to try. And now I'm kind of, you know, I started in the school. I've started in the school gym. Got to go in there twice. And then the other day, I just had this moment of like, I'm just going to get it out there. I'm not going to mess around too much. It was one of these things where it's like, and there's not a lot of battery time. Like it says 30 minutes, but that's in like the most boring mode and not zipping around or whatever. So I'm like, I'm going to go out there, and it was cold, but I was like, I'm just going to give this like 10 minutes. I'm just going to get it in the air and see what it does. And it was one of those things that just built upon itself. Like I got it up in the air. I was like, okay. And I just literally watched it just buzz and hover. I'm like, I'm going to go a little bit higher and higher and higher. And I was telling one of the dads this week at baseball, my son was at like a practice, and we were talking about it, and he was like, what happened? I'm like, it got so high that like I literally had a hard time seeing it. Like I look up, and then when I look down, if I looked up again, I might not be able to find it in the sky because it's small. And it makes a nice buzzing sound, but when it's up there, you can't really hear it. The only thing I have is my phone connected to the controller, so I can see, like I can see what it sees. And so I could generally turn it into my direction and then bring it back down or whatever. But it was fun to watch me in those 10 minutes go from just letting it hover in front of me to like, let's get it up and moving a little bit. And then I got enough. I had a, you know, maybe a total of like 4 minutes of video that I could kind of just throw something together that would just show people like what it can do. But it's like, I'm so ready for the growth and the risk taking with this little machine, right? Because, you know, you hear horror stories, like when I was on the forums reading about certain parts of this thing that I don't know how to use, some people are complaining that their drones have just been dropping out of the sky. Like they're in the air and they're flying and it just falls out of the sky. And I'm like I literally did one of these. I'm like, oh, you know, like this thing was expensive and it's just going to fall out of the sky. So there's that whole thing going on too, that fear. But I'm going to piggyback onto something with the fear. I get to a point where I'm done. I need to move forward. And I discovered this really cool video this last week, beginning of this week, about this concept, this idea called burning your boats that this vlogger has. Anyway, I'm not going to get too much into all that and where I discovered that, but I watched this vlog of this guy in New York, and he talked about this idea called burning your boats. And then he the person who talks about it all the time, he spoke in the vlog about what it means. And it basically means like just getting to a point where you have to do something to yourself in a moment in order to not be able to revert back to things that you've done that you just don't want to do anymore. You want to move forward. You want to take risks. You're going to experience some fear. But from all that, you can find success. And it really resonated with me because I think I'm kind of in that space these days of you're acting a certain way, you're doing certain things, then you just decide like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Like it's draining me too much or it's not effective. The only reason I do it is because of habit. And so it was really neat that this fell into my lap, this idea of burning your boats. And so I created a quick 2-minute video thing. I talk a little bit about it, and then I have the video clip to kind of have the true person. His name escapes me right now. I'm sorry. Adrian something. Anyway, I can find it. But I have him talk about what the idea and how he uses it. And then I talk a little bit about how it can be applied to education, whether people do it all the time. You and I do it all the time. Like when I went to that Daring Greatly workshop, man, I burned some boats because I said to myself, okay, here I am. I'm not going back. And I was scared and I still am scared. And on the on-ramp, I told you about an experience I had this week where I dared greatly for me, you know, and it was, and as I was doing what I was doing to move forward with who I am, my inner critic was on full blast, man. The volume was turned up full. And I literally had to shove it back, like, shut up. Get out of the way. I'm trying to do something here. And I'm going to do it, even though you're blabbing in the background. That's a lot of work. And it's scary. And you're out there, totally vulnerable. 100%. I was in a very vulnerable state at that moment. But I said, I'm not going back. I don't want to go back. Anyway, so I'm kind of doing that with the drone. It's not like, it's just, you know, it's different because there's no inner critic telling me, you know, like you can't fly a drone or whatever. None of that's existing right now, but it's those baby steps, right? It's like finding something new, liking what it can offer you, what it can do. And for me, I feel like I need that push. I love the perspective that you can get up there. And it was so cool. I showed my kids, and right away my 13-year-old was like, let's go. I'm like, Ben, it's 10 p.m. I can barely see the thing in the light. We're going to lose it. He's like, who cares? Like, he has no idea, right? And then my youngest was like, I want to use it too. And I'm like, whoa, so everybody slow down a little bit. And I showed my wife, and she's like, that's really cool. And now I'm thinking, it's totally not cool. I need to, like, it's not good enough for me. I need to keep moving. I need to keep trying new things. But I don't want to destroy the thing in the first couple of months that I own it. So I've backed off. But it's such a great example of the mix of wanting to try something new, being scared to do it, taking a huge risk in terms of, like, this thing costs a lot of money. So financially, I'm invested. I already have ideas that I want to put into action. And here's the best part. I love this part. I don't even know how to action what I want to do. So I have the vision of what it looks like, but I have no idea how to make it happen. And in that space of, I want to get here, but I don't know what's in the middle, I'm excited. Right? So between here and here, there's all this space in the middle. I have no idea how to fill that gap, but I'm excited and I'm motivated and I want to and I will. I just don't know how yet. Isn't that cool? So when you apply that to anything you do, it's awesome. And I think now that I say this to you and I say it out loud for me to hear it, this is why I think I've been doing some of the things that I've done in my classroom over the past, I don't know, 10, 12 years, maybe longer. This tech integration and trying different things is my way of taking risks and modeling for the kids that it's okay. We can try new things. We're going to fail. And also about making connections, you know, like the things that I'm doing with my students, you can take the risk taking there and you can apply it to real life. And you have to. We have to apply the things we do at certain times in our life to other things. You know, without those making connections between things we're doing and new things we're learning or old things we did, I think there's a richness that you lose. So if you continuously do things in isolation and you never make connections to anything, I would say that may lead to a life that isn't as rich as it could be. And so for me, a spark in the classroom is when a kid has learned something from me in the particular year I'm working with them and they make a connection to something else. They're like, hey, this reminds me of da 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 da. And I was like, that is awesome. Now go out into the world and do that with everything that you're doing. You know, remember, and the 3D printer is a good example. When we were getting into 3D printing, my kids at that time, they would totally take the risks. They would totally be open to the failure, to the success, to the learning. And then I remember the first time I said to them, when they were doing some math that was difficult, and they're like, I can't do this. I think I'm just going to give up. And I'm like, how come you don't give up with the 3D printer? Like, everything that's happening to you right now with this problem you're trying to solve, how come that when the same thing happened over there with that machine, you are more than happy to engage? And here you're like, I'm done. I give up. I said, granted, maybe this problem isn't as exciting as the work you're doing over there. But the skills and the attitude that you used over there to succeed, it's the same stuff that's going to lead you to success right here. And it's awesome when they look at you and they're like, holy cow, he's got a good point. And I'm like, so, you know, destroy that math problem. And whether you find success or not, the skills that you're going to practice dealing with this problem are only going to help you move forward in your life. So I'm like, forget grade 4 for a second. You're going to need this. When you're my age,
I can only imagine. Forget, yo, big picture. And I love it. I love the provocation. I really do. I'm sorry to cut you. It cracked me up. And I was like, someone said to me the other day, they were listening to me in the grade 9 learning strats. So we have a staff office right between our two classrooms. And the teacher said to me, one of my colleagues said to me the other day, she goes, I used to sit in the staff office and I would listen to you talk to these grade 9 students. So basically kind of identifying a developmental stage, but in also some ways identifying a maximum capacity for not growth, but like somehow it was kind of like shooting way over their heads. And she basically said, I can't believe the things and sort of like the philosophical places that your kids were willing to go with you, like in these conversations. And I think your statement right now, like forget that you're in grade four, would be a really fascinating lead to a conversation with a grade four student. Sorry, man.
No, not a problem. I'm glad you jumped in. I was going off on different tangents, but hopefully coming back to the same thing. The coming back to home base, which is there are things that we're going to do, and it's cool to look at what you're doing and why you're doing it, and then dealing with the things that come with that. So for me, it's the inner critic, right? But and moving forward and not going back. It's cool. It's cool. It's not cool. It's hard. It's hard when people force you to go back. Like when you lose the Wi-Fi at school, or the internet's not working for the day, and everybody's looking around like helpless. And there's a reason for that. We do depend on the internet, for example. We do depend on the Wi-Fi signals, and it's not. I don't think it's that we're weak. It's that we're trying to burn the boats. We don't want to go back to the way we used to do things. We'd like to continue doing them the way we're doing them now. And that's a bit of a cheat in education. You're cheating. You didn't burn all the boats. There's a couple of rowboats hiding out. They suck. They're made out of old wood. They might have holes in them. But if you needed to get in and row over to the other side, you might be able to make it there for the day. You get what I'm saying?
Oh,
So,
yeah.
yeah. Or like when the photocopying machine breaks and everybody's like, well, just go do your job. And it's like, man, I burned those boats. And now you're forcing me to jump in the water and swim back to that other side of the water and have to deal with whatever's there. Like, so, I mean, it's fun to play with the idea, but you and I do that all the time. We see these concepts, ideas, we listen to these people talk about their positions and their passions, and then we kind of we break it apart. Decoded, man. Decoded podcasts is what we do. So anyway, there's that. Hey, did you see last night I posted some stuff on Twitter about sketchnoting?
Yeah.
I'm not a sketchnoter, so I have to say that I'm not a sketchnoter, but I just felt the need to show people that, like, hey, if you want to learn something, you can start looking for stuff online. You're probably going to find some stuff that can get you moving in a great direction. And thankfully for me, after I posted a I don't know, 5 or 6 YouTube links on how to get started with sketchnoting, Sylvia Duckworth, who is in my opinion an amazing person, forget the fact that she was an educator and this amazing creator and a person who shares, forget all that. She's a great person, in my opinion. I've met her several times.
Can I push on that for a sec?
Push.
I like because the your statement right there, forget that she was an educator, to me right now felt a little bit like, can I be honest with you? Because in this case, I'll say she represents someone to me who I can't forget that she's an educator. Like I can't separate, there's some time there's well. We've shaken the tree enough to sort of talk about, when people that are sort of offering a product that is in education, educational product that you could argue maybe they didn't have enough time in the classroom or it's completely, they're in it for profit. But then there's other individuals where I think to myself, no, like they kind of they still somehow stay true to their origin story. They bring like talking about you and your drone development, like why it's so important to me to sort of watch this example of your learning is because I don't have access to some of your origins, or I have you telling me about it, but I wasn't there. So I have to take your word for it. Now, I feel like you've repped authenticity with me as I feel that I have with you. So being able to sort of see your development in this new product position, learning, whatever you want to look at it, because I'm expecting some sort of video is going to come out of it. Something that you're going to create is going to come out of it. I love the fact that I got to see the 1.0. Duckworth kind of represents to me one of those educators that sits in the, you still have access to my 1.0. You still have access to my path up to this point that has a whole lot of people excited about the work that I do. But you can still go back and look at me as a French teacher. You can still go back and look at the curriculum I've developed. Like it's all kind of there. And I love that.
Fair enough, fair enough. It's funny when you said the word, you said something we represent, and then my brain put together the Lollipop Guild. So I needed to say that. I don't know why. Anyway, so Sylvia Duckworth chimes in and she's like, did you know that at my site, I have 34 free lessons for people to check out? And I'm like, no, I didn't know that. So then I grabbed that link and I tagged it in my original post, my original tweet, and I sent it out to everybody saying, hey, by the way, there's also 34 free lessons that Sylvia Duckworth has put out. And by the way, she's kind of a guru in this area. She's got a lot of capacity here, and she's authored several books around this topic.
And she answered you.
Oh, she did. Well, she didn't really. I didn't even tag her. She read it and she responded. And
That's
that's
still, let's just say that's good classroom management.
what, oh, dude,
No.
it goes back to my thing about she's a good person.
Yeah, that
She's
too.
a good human, like based on what I know of her. She's been very helpful to me. She helped me out with my podcast. She's helped me out with all kinds of stuff. She's just a good person, in my opinion, based on what I know of her. Anyway, so long story short, those moments, like, it's perfect that she would chime in, right? It's perfect that she would chime in because she knows this stuff in and out. I was just being helpful in general. And then we have like an expert walk into the room and say, hey, by the way, if you need help, I'm around. So I think that's really cool. And I have to tell you though, I enjoyed finding stuff to help people in a way where they didn't have to spend any money. I did that brought me some joy. And I think it can be done with a lot of the things that are out there right now.
It was it very, I have to go back to the Ed podcast. Shane, when he posted up a question way back, I think it was Shane. I don't know if it's Shane or Brad Schreffler, but they posted up that question is if you were to write your EDU book, what would the title be? And it's, there's a whole lot that's available for free. Whole lot that's available for free as far as well, any type of learning, anything. YouTube's your friend. And the title of some EDU book should be at some point, kind of haha, you bought the book, but everything's for free in the feed. Like it's just I don't I think to myself, what is it that, well, we tested the waters with this, just talking about if anyone would pay for our podcast, right? And quite a few people push back saying there's a whole lot of other stuff out there that's free. Like they said it. So you decide to charge, we're just gonna go look for something else for free. And I don't take that I take no insult in that. I mean, I think we were kind of asking the question with some seriousness, but a little bit of comedy too. I think some market about as close as we're going to get to market analysis. But yeah, it's funny like to sort of to think about someone who's obviously making money already from sketchnoting, right? She's got at least one, two books out there. She's delivering keynotes and stuff like that. I really do dig. I'm not as deep into the Gary V stuff as I think you've kind of watched his career a little closer to me, but what we've talked about is the fact that you have to keep putting that stuff out there. Your body of work has to be bigger than your store shelf.
Yes, 100% I agree with that. And
And part of the body of work is that some of it's not for sale. It's just the body of work.
if we continue to use Sylvia Duckworth as an example, if you look at her origin story, you not only see someone who is always open to sharing and to taking risks and to being open to like working with others, you see this capacity for providing value to people without any kind of monetary connection. Or that's the origin story I've seen of Sylvia. And at this point, she is making money. I don't know if she's making money, but you're right. She's authored 2 books that I know of, maybe a third. And then she does keynotes, and she's been to conferences and stuff where she's probably been paid to present on the topic. But I have to say, having said all that, let's go like a step deeper here in terms of, so Sylvia's done all this stuff. So anybody can go and find Sylvia's free stuff, and they could build a capacity around sketchnoting where then they feel like they're in deep enough that they would like to spend the $25, $30 to buy the book. For me, that's a whole other realm for me. And I'm not sure I'm going to be able to explain it, to be able to explain my thinking around it, but it's the whole Gary V thing, where you constantly, his position, his idea is that, or it has been in the past, part of his origin story, give, 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 give. And then when you really have something that you believe people will benefit from, then you take. And I think his book was, I think he wrote a book called Jab, 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 Left Hook or something. So give, 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 provide value all the time, provide content for people that will be valuable to them. Do a lot of that, and then when you have something to sell, then you ask them. You say, "Hey, listen, I've given all this. I'd really like to take some of your money." That sounds so wrong, but that's kind of buy my product, go with it. And if I've been giving you all this stuff and you've built a capacity, then this book or product or whatever is going to continue to boost you in your journey. And then once that's over, you continue to give, give, give. And I see Sylvia as, I see her or has operated in that mode, whether she knows it or not. And that's why I'm a fan of Sylvia's. Not only do I appreciate that aspect of her, of who she is and her brand, but like I said, I know her personally, so there's that personal professional connection. I see what she's doing professionally, but I've met her several times, and I call her a friend. I can call Sylvia a friend in my world, in my mind. And so knowing her, knowing that she's a good person, I don't mind like talking about her brand here with you right now. I don't mind at all, because I kind of value the way she's up and operating. And so, you know, I have both of her books. She gifted them to me. I did end up buying a book for a friend. So like I have given some of my money to purchase her product. And in my like situation and my circumstance, it made perfect sense. If I didn't know her, and I was really into sketchnoting, would I have purchased her book for myself? I don't know. It depends. And you know, I've talked about this. I'm not a big buyer of books. And I think that threw you off a little bit when, with this whole Daring Greatly stuff and the Daring Classroom stuff, I think it was you that said, after I wrote my blog post, you're like, and I referred to the book. That meant something to you because you know how I feel about books. And you're like, whoa, if this dude, he bought the book, he read the book, he keeps referring to the book, there's got to be something here that's going on at a deeper level for him. And so if that can happen to me, it can happen to other people. And it can happen in sketchnoting, and it can happen in podcasting, and it can happen in, you know, creating videos. Like, it can happen. But, you know, how often do we get into conversation with people where we really get to know them at a deeper level? It's it's rare, or at least it is for me these days. It's rare for me to actually get to know somebody at a deep level because I don't have the time to put into that relationship, or I don't want to give the time that's required to put into that relationship. So having said all that, I felt like here's sketchnoting, here's something that people are doing right now or they like to do or that they want to get into. Here are some resources. You can get started. You just need a little bit of time and effort, and you can become fluent. And then Sylvia jumped in. It's like, hey, we've got an expert in the room, who basically said, hey, have you checked out my free stuff? You don't even need to buy my stuff. Just go out, check out my free stuff. And I feel like that way of operating, she's been doing that forever. Do you know how many times I've looked at an idea and then I made the connection that Sylvia's done this before?
Well,
And
oh, dude, I can't tell you. Like, I remember there was, well, I totally remember there was a moment in time where people were stealing her stuff, clipping her name off of the actual sketch note and just posting it up in presentations. And I can remember being in conversation. I think it was adjacent to her, but I think she may have been a part of it, but it was definitely in support of the fact, like if you're using somebody's stuff, like a creator's stuff, and you're stripping their name off of it, that is plagiarism, right? That is plagiarism. And in some some jurisdictions and some contexts, like you can get fined for it, like, right? You're stealing. But I get it. I get what you're saying.
yeah, so anyway, I don't know how we got onto that. Oh, the whole sketchnoting thing. Anyway, so it's all good. People, you want to build your brand, put stuff out that's of value to others, and just constantly give until you need to ask for them to take, like, buy my book. I wrote a book about this. I've been giving you all this tidbit, all this stuff. Now I've written a book, I put it together, so I'm asking you to buy my book. And like if all the stuff that this person's been offering you has been providing you value and helping you along on your journey, then maybe the book is the right place to spend your money. I don't know. That's up to you. I know for me, that works for me. That works for me because I'm not ready to give away my money instantly for something that I don't know about 99% of the time. Right? So like I like to mess around with videos and stuff. I've not paid for any of my learning on how to create a video. And in fact, I've gotten to the point where I feel a fluency with the app that I use. And my tech that I use to make them, I'm now starting to go against some of the rules of how to make a video, right? Like, who says you have to do a beginning, middle, and end?
Well, our podcast, right, just where we're kind of like where we're playing with the, I feel like every week we're just kind of floating off on the tides of creativity, right? And I think we've used this example before when you're swimming at you're at the beach with your kids, your family, and you kind of go under the water for a second, and you come up, and all of a sudden, you're not in line with your family anymore. You're kind of just, you're slightly off. And like, how did that happen? How did I get there? Or, you throw the beach ball out into the water, and you turn around, and it's already, 100 meters off to your right. I feel like you and I with this podcast have kind of been riffing on, like, what does it mean? Like, what does having a podcast have to mean? And do we have to stay there? Do we have to stay in that space?
Well, and the cool thing about you and I is we don't. Like,
No.
we've already agreed to that. Like, we've got this mutual understanding that this is going to go in any way that it goes. I mean, we have a couple of rules, right? Like we keep it clean
Yeah.
and
I was about to ask you, what are they? As I was like,
oh.
what are our rules for creativity within the frame of podcasting?
I would say generally speaking, we keep it clean. Would you not agree?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, we generally keep it clean And
I like to think we keep it clean, but like when you clean with Ajax, like there's some grit in there. Anyways, we keep it clean. What else?
I think we respect each other.
Yeah, I
That's
keep.
about
Yeah, I'll
it,
kind of. I'll kind of. No. I think that. I think we intentionally keep it fast and loose. Like it's got to be kind of loose. I think we got to keep it convenient.
For
So
us.
for us.
For us. We're not keeping this convenient for anybody else.
No,
And
anyone
for
else that anyone else that you know, the people that are depending on our feed on the weekly, we just I gotta get my
No.
fix. I need my Clough and Roland fix.
And what's funny about that too is it's like this is if you want to learn how to podcast, then you're probably not coming here, right? Like we'll have to refer you. If you want the beginning, middle, and end type podcast with the bumpers and all that, we know how to do it, right? We could show you examples like with Chasing Squirrels and Rolling Chidiac Connects. We have that. We have those artifacts. We have those skills. We just choose not to use them anymore. This is the new way. This is our 3.0. This is how we're moving. And it's kind of exciting to see how this evolves too. And I've said this 100 times. I'm going to say it again, whether people listen to it or not. I mean, it's cool that people listen to it, but you and I are not staying up at night losing sleep over the fact that, one or two people heard the podcast. We're just not. That's not where we're at. And so, people who are looking to start something new or to create a podcast and want to do it the traditional way, at this point in our trajectory, that's not where we're at anymore. We were there and we did it and we know how. We could always go back, but I prefer this, man. On the fly, shotgun style. I like this. We just sit down, we talk.
I have to say though, in the same way, in the exact same, way that I just said to you, I'm enjoying watching your development of your skill in the drone fluency. I think at some point someone could say, you know what? I started, like, if someone said to you, I started podcasting because of what I heard of you online. Would you think to yourself of your Chiliac Connects, or would you think of Decoded?
I would have to ask, what did you see? What did you hear? Oh,
Yeah.
in this case, what did you see that that you like? That kind of, or not even that you like. Maybe something you didn't like, but it led you to your next step. I'd love to know.
At some point, I think that whether or not right now anyone's paying attention to us and what we're doing with the podcasting medium, I do think at some point someone's going to come across our content. It's because it's out there, right? Someone's going to come across our content and m who is a seeker looking to maybe develop their own skills in this type of a medium, and they're going to start to mess with it. And then they're ultimately going to say, I started with Decoded as my 3.0. No lead, no nothing. And now this is my starting point. Like us providing a starting point for someone that actually takes the style that you and I are doing right now and then takes it to the next. Or just takes it to theirs, whatever that might be. I like that idea.
I don't know about you, but for me, this whole exercise, what we do here every week, this is bigger than just me chatting with you and reflecting on my world. For me, this is part of the practice of taking a risk, of trying something new, of being vulnerable. It really is, because it's funny, I can say stuff here on the podcast with you, knowing that it's recorded, knowing that it lives on the internet, that I won't talk about at work in my staff room. But people could come here, listen to this, and be like, what did he just say? Is that really his position on this topic? Because he's never said it to me before. And so, like, there's a bigger picture here for me. Did I know that from the beginning? No. But when I look at it now, basically every weekend, I take this risk, and I disclose things that I wouldn't disclose anywhere else. And I would like to think that I'd be happy to talk about, you know, like a couple of times people have said to me, hey, you said this on the podcast. What did you mean? And sometimes I forget what we talk about. I really do, because we're just going, right? There's no script. I don't have anything written down about what I want to talk about. So there's nothing I can go back to and say, oh, episode, you know, 16, season 2, we talked, like there's the blog post. So if you refer me to the blog post, I can go back and it might jog something. But generally speaking, sometimes I'm like, what did I say? You know? Or how did I say it? Or what was my position? And the whole thing's interesting. But I love podcasting. And with this, with your idea of having to record it visually so that we could post it on YouTube for anybody who's interested in watching, I like that even better now. I mean, at first I didn't like that idea, but it's part of what we do now. And it's not something I'm resisting. It's just interesting that you find these things, right? And it's about the habits you build. Like on the weekends where we don't meet up because I'm away or you're away or whatever's happening, it does feel a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not weird enough to be like, oh man, what am I going to do? I didn't get my podcast fixed this morning. It's not like that. It's just like, oh, this is different. You know,
it's so for me, that part is weird. Like when I step out of habit and I don't have the sit down on Saturdays, it is, there's a little bit weird there. What I find is, what is kind of like the carrier wave for me though. So the thing that makes it feel like it's bigger, that there's something to this that's bigger than just the conversation, is the relationship. So it's the friendship that's built out of it. But it's also one of the parts of it that makes it weird isn't a good word. I don't have a better word right now, but where I'm aware of the fact that I'm not in step with my practice. So this weekly get together that we do really has become ingrained as, we can title it as reflective practice, but it's not unlike having, you know, hockey, you know, you have hockey on whatever, or you would have the meetups with a friend for coffee and you would sit and talk about the newspaper. Like it is the habit that is kind of, when I can't satisfy the habit, I'm aware of it. I think there's a skill that develops out of the habit, which is the reflective practice and being able to kind of just kind of really riff on your thinking, like take a seed point and just kind of go out from it. Like, I think that's a skill that you have to develop. And I do agree with you that the vulnerability and the honesty that needs to kind of grow out of those moments is also a secondary skill to get comfortable with that. But I am aware when we don't talk that, yes, I do, I miss the conversation. But there's another element of it for me where I also realize that I haven't fulfilled like a promise to myself to maintain this habit of talking about everything that we talk about, our week, you know, being dads, our challenges within those two frames. I'm aware of it. And I do feel a little bit let down. I feel like I let myself down when I don't drop in and do some thinking about my life on the week.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that about you. I just figured it out now.
Well, dude, I don't tell you everything.
Post it on Instagram and tag me.
Yeah, exactly. You got to start lurking me.
Oh, the other day you posted a quick Instagram story of your dashboard, but I think when I think my brightness was so low on my phone that I'm like, what did he posted something in the dark? Like, what is this? And then I saw it on a computer, and it was the OSSTF part of the what appeared to be like a flag on your dashboard, and then I could see a little bit of the. Not the road, but like the trees and stuff. Did you purposely angle your camera in a way that would like not allow people to see the street that you were driving on, kind of thing?
Do you want backstory or just the general thing that I'm kind of playing with right now?
Let me get the what you're playing with right now.
So what I'm playing with right now is how to use Instagram stories to how can I use that in step with me writing? So you've probably seen once or twice me posting up some of the poetry that I write. I'm looking to kind of mess around with how do I use video with poetry overlay, and whether or not that can be a engaging. I'm playing with whether or not that's an engaging mode for writing poetry. It's kind of a mixing media of poetry. So that's this is me test driving provocations in plain sight. So I got some interesting comments back.
Like what?
Well, that looks kind of dangerous. So when you create a thing and you just sort of put it out there and you allow the comments to kind of flow on it, it sometimes is really it's a good practice for me as to how do I look at the comments with objectivity. So how do I find the mentorship even within a mentorship and how do I find the wisdom even in a comment that might be insulting, you know, or like it's not supportive or it's not an automatic like or a thumbs up. So I often like to just put out like I'll be like half I would say at least half the pictures I post on my Insta feed are just things that kind of fascinate me as I move through my day. So, you know, like a few weeks back when I was walking into Walmart in the morning to grab some groceries for the culinary, so the community class culinary, I saw on the ground just a piece of wet fur. And so I just, you know, sort of zoomed in on it and captured a picture of it. And then I posted up to Insta with no, like nothing, just posted up. And it's just, I love the interaction with a provocation. It's no different than in your classroom. You know, you set up st provocation stations with different things that you know on the inside or might be a part of a lesson, or maybe you're just trying to set up conversation. But you don't worry too much. Well, sorry, I don't worry too much about giving context for some of the things that I post up on my Insta. It's a little bit like my creative space just to kind of mess with words and images and videos. So playing with dash cam footage, as far as the OSSTF thing goes, so I've posted two of those. One of them was just an early morning, kind of murky, kind of scary, kind of looking. All I'm doing is hitting record in the morning before I leave when I get my car. And then when I hit the Tim Hortons, I turn it off. And then I get to school and I post it.
Why do you turn it off at Tim Hortons?
Only because it's a convenient stopping
Oh,
point, so I'm parked, right? So I'm
gotcha.
not messing with the video. And then I clip it, trim it down to the piece that I want, and then get rid of the extra.
This is all from a dash cam?
It's from my, well, because where
Or is
my
it your phone?
It's my phone. So where my
Okay.
phone is actually, my phone is not positioned to see. Well, I guess I could. I have one of those magnetic kind of arms that comes off of my like it's a clip, this really grippy clip that holds onto one of my vents in the car. And there's a magnet and there's a magnet on the back of my thing. So my as it's set up right now, the phone is set up in such a way that it's good to use it as GPS or to play music. But it can only just peek over the dash slightly. So all I do is kind of tilt it slightly to the right. And I usually throw my hat right on the dash when I'm driving. So that was partially obscuring it. So yeah, the other one was just while I put the OSSTF one there, you know, kind of in the spirit of the stuff that's going on right now, I thought to myself, could I create a small media piece that someone might find, some solidarity with or kind of get it without me saying anything. And as I was driving in, I don't often listen to the radio. There was a song by the Arkells, and there's a chunk in there about, you know, talking about standing with your brother and your sister. And I thought, okay, I'll post that up. So that's my practicing for playing with Instagram stories.
So I need to remember that because I'm one of the people that's looking at your stuff and I'm like, what is this? And why isn't he saying anything about it? Now I know that it's more for you. It's more for what you're doing with your creative side. I get it now. So, but before I was like, What is this? And why? I get so upset. Why does he not tell us what he's posting? Mm-hmm. Why is there no backstory? But anyway, thanks for that. I appreciate it.
I lifted the curtain.
You lifted the curtain. Lifted the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I lifted the curtain. And it won't stop me. And the great thing is that even though it's lifted, I feel like there's still a couple more curtains behind there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, still a couple more.
Okay, dude. Well, I think we've come to the end of episode 18 of season 3.
Have we?
Well, it depends. You want to keep talking about stuff?
Oh. No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah. I don't know if my picture kind of turned out. I don't know.
Uh-oh. Yeah, you left to go get something for the picture.
Yeah, it sort of turned out. I'm now realizing I maybe should have done it a different way, but oh, maybe this will work out just fine though. I like how it's kind of, I like the problems I'm having right now.
Interesting, very yeah, interesting.
You know what? I'm gonna leave some of this stuff on here just to. No, I'll just leave the one. All right. Yeah, I'm gonna leave it as. You wanna see?
I would love to see it.
Okay, so let's
interesting. That's cool, man. Very cool.
So what I'm realizing is that painter's tape is not the best way to mask off around. So the painter's tape, as I pulled it off, made things. You'll see it in the picture, but it's given some interesting texture here. But maybe that just brings to light this word right here.
Working.
Yeah, keep on working. Keep on working.
And did you, like, is that a quote that's been in your head, like, for a while, or did you see it this morning and you decided you wanted to deal with it?
I'm, like I said, this is one, and there's the other one about, I have another one, I think it's from... It's either from Da Vinci or Picasso about the idea of fire and smoke and that sort of being that metaphor for creativity. But it's about the fires that you set, not the smoke that kind of rises from it. So I like this idea of just keep working, keep working, keep working. Put your work out there. See what happens.
For anybody who's not watching this, but they're listening to it, can you read the quote that you drew?
Oh, yeah. So the only way to escape the corruptible effect of praise is to go on working. And from what I found, that's attributed to Einstein.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Makes perfect sense, too. I love it.
I think it works for us.
Okay, so dude.
Are we at the till next week? Well,
we are.
On the podcast.
To be honest with you. To be honest with you, I would love to keep talking, but life is happening over here, and I can't sit at the computer all day chatting with you.
All right, dude. Happy to chat with you, and I'll see you sometime during the week.
Right on. Take care.
Ciao, man.